produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world. Featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Tuesday, March 4th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Get involved in the cannabis civil rights movement and join us here at Normal. You can learn everything you need to know at norml.org. Make a donation, write a letter, attend a rally, march for your rights. It all starts with you. Remember, the government estimates that there are millions of Americans that have smoked marijuana in the past month. Congressmen are known to change their votes when they get a few hundred calls about an issue. If Congress had to hear a million phone calls asking for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, it would be a reality today. Call your Congress at 202-225-3121. They'll ask for your zip code and put you in touch with your elected officials. It still is a government of we the people, but you have to step up and do your part. Tuesday is Government at Work Day on the podcast, and coming up after the news, we take a look at marijuana-related bills from around the country. Dale Geringer from California Normal joins us to look at the marijuana bills in the Golden State, and from the Midwest, Illinois Normal's Julie Falco joins us to talk about an important hearing on medical marijuana in Illinois. We also get our groove on with a guitarist named Tomas and his song, Let's Get High. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. This is your normal daily audio stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Michigan likely to vote on medical marijuana in November. Michigan patients with chronic or debilitating disease could legally possess and use marijuana under a proposal likely to go before state voters in November. A state elections panel today certified petitions containing 377,975 signatures backing the plan, well over the 304,000 minimum needed to put the initiative before the voters if the legislature fails to act upon it within the next 40 days. The Michigan Coalition for Compassionate Care, the group which circulated the petitions, wants to allow those with serious illnesses to obtain a doctor's authorization to cultivate up to 12 marijuana plants and possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana without fear of prosecution. About a dozen states allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes under some circumstances. About? How do you get about a dozen? Well, anyway, good luck to the activists in Michigan attempting to become about the 13th medical cannabis state. Pot plants end up at San Jose Recycling Center. Workers at the Green Team Recycling Center in San Jose were sorting material Friday when they opened a large trash bag and found 5 pounds of marijuana plants inside. They called police to report their find at about 11 a.m., Officer Jermaine Thomas said. The marijuana plants had been shoved into a large black plastic bag, Thomas said, and could have come from anywhere in the county. The plants had been seized as evidence and won't make it to the composting bin anytime soon. A pound of the leafy green stuff can go for as much as $750 on the street, Thomas said. It was unclear how much of the pot in the bag would have been sellable. Well, because of Prohibition, I'd say all of it was sellable. Desperate tokers in a dry spell will buy leaf and stems and make hash or tea out of it. And in the case of some of the finer strains, an ounce of the stuff can go for $750 on the street. And they called police? Since when do guys working at a recycling center pass up 5 pounds of free weed? Marijuana use associated with increased risk of mortality among acute myocardial infarction patients. For acute myocardial infarction patients wondering if the next heart attack is the big one, maybe smoking marijuana relieves some of that stress and anxiety, but it isn't helping their chances of living any longer. New preliminary research suggests that marijuana use in acute myocardial infarction survivors is associated with a threefold higher risk of mortality after infarction. Speaking about the study, which is published in the March 2008 issue of the American Heart Journal, the doctors said that previous research has shown marijuana to have cardiovascular effects that might pose a risk, particularly to older adults and those with coronary disease, such as an increase in resting heart rate. Other studies have shown transient increases in myocardial infarction risk, possibly due to carbon monoxide exposure and an increase in heart rate. Oral cannabinoid therapy, however, has also been shown to stop atherosclerosis in a mouse model and to play other immunological roles. With these differing effects of marijuana in mind, the group set out to study the relation between marijuana use and coronary heart disease in 1,913 adults hospitalized with myocardial infarctions between 1989 and 1994. Of these, 52 patients reported marijuana use during the previous year, and 317 died during a mean follow-up of 3.8 years. In an adjusted analysis, marijuana use was associated with a 3 times greater risk of all-cause cardiovascular and non-cardiovascular death following acute myocardial infarction, and there was a greater risk among those who smoked more frequently. All right, well, this sounds a little fishy to me, but I'll let Dr. Earlywine take a look at this one before I comment on the analysis and conclusions. But, however, if I take these headlines at their word and believe that people who've had a major heart attack ought not smoke marijuana, well, then, okay. I imagine there's all sorts of usually harmless activities heart attack victims should avoid. But this study doesn't separate the marijuana use from the smoking of marijuana. What about vaporization? Or eating medicated edibles? All questions that I'll present to Dr. Earlywine in next week's Stash, so stay tuned for his analysis on next Wednesday.
Is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Reefer Madness.
All right, fire up the Reefer Madness machine. It's 2008, but for Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin, it might as well be 1938. One of our members of Normal sent a letter to the senator from Iowa asking him why marijuana should still be illegal for medical purposes when the American College of Physicians has recommended that marijuana be allowed for medical purposes. The letter that Tom Harkin sent back to his constituent is pure reefer madness straight out of Harry Anslinger's playbook. We'll read you this letter here. Thank you for contacting me. I'm always glad to hear from you. I do not believe the answer in solving this country's problem of drug abuse and the violence associated with drug trafficking is to make drugs legal. I have seen too much of the ill effects of these illegal drugs on our nation's young people, as well as the country's law enforcement officers, to believe that the solution is to make these drugs more readily available by legalizing them. Marijuana is often the drug singled out for legalization. However, marijuana is not the recreational drug that many believe it to be. In a study completed by the Drug Abuse Warning Network, or DAWN, the number of marijuana-related emergencies has nearly reached the level of cocaine-related emergencies. As this statistic indicates, marijuana use often has fatal consequences. I was deeply troubled when I learned of another recent study which found that nearly one-third of all 8th graders had tried marijuana. As the father of 2 daughters, it greatly disturbs me that children are exposed to drugs at such a young age. I am concerned that legalization of this drug will only increase the number of children who gain access to its harmful effects. The victims of the drug war are many. The small child whose parents are so addicted to illegal drugs that they sell everything, including perhaps their own children, to obtain a fix. the police officer's family, which must now learn to cope with the loss of their loved one as a result of a violent drug bust gone awry. These are the people I think of when I say that drugs pose a significant threat to the security of this nation. In addition to helping double federal funds for Iowa's anti-drug programs, I am an active supporter of the Smoother Sailing programs in the Des Moines Public Schools. This program is designed to help children cope with the violence, confusion, and trauma associated with the abuse of drugs in our society. Legalizing drugs is equivalent to declaring surrender in the war on drugs. However we may differ in tactics, I am hopeful that we can work together to fight drugs in our communities and to make Iowa drug-free. Again, thanks for sharing your views with me. Please don't hesitate to let me know how you feel on any issue that concerns you. Sincerely, Tom Harkin, United States Senator. Senator Harkin, you should be ashamed of this reefer madness. Let's address some of your points. Number one, legalization of marijuana. Well, your constituent asked you about medical marijuana, so it's a different issue. Number two, the number of marijuana-related emergencies has nearly reached the level of cocaine-related emergencies. Please. Those Dawn statistics you cite mean that when someone goes to the ER, they mention that they're a cannabis user. If I got rear-ended in a car crash, go to the emergency room, and mention that when asked, yeah, I smoked a doobie at a Wilco concert 2 weeks ago, that's considered a marijuana-related emergency. Number three, as the statistic indicates, marijuana use often has fatal consequences. Except for the fact that marijuana is completely non-toxic and hasn't ever killed anyone. Number four, I was deeply troubled when I learned of another recent study which found that nearly one-third of all 8th graders had tried marijuana. Well, actually the government surveys put the number at about half that, but still, marijuana use by 8th graders isn't something we're happy about either. See, marijuana dealers don't check IDs, and they don't lose their marijuana dealer's license if they sell to minors. Unlike, say, a liquor store owner. Number five, the victims of the drug war are many. The small child whose parents are so addicted to illegal drugs that they sell everything, including perhaps their own children, to obtain a fix. Really? People are selling their kids to obtain marijuana. How much can I get for my dog? And number six, the police officer's family, which must now learn to cope with the loss of their loved one as a result of a violent drug bust gone awry. Well, who exactly is bringing all this violence to the drug bust? Could it be the dozens of overarmed, body-armored SWAT teams that bust down the doors of simple gardeners? Only prohibition makes that violent drug bust necessary. If you'd like to respond to Senator Tom Harkin, you can do so by checking out our website at normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Also, big thanks to Ron out at the Normal blog at blog.normal.org, who caught this letter and great job debunking it. We've got to fight back against this reefer madness. Let Senator Tom Harkin know how you feel. Contact your Congress at 202-225-3121.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body guys,
if you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
Afternoon pollution rises high into the sky.
how can we still deny the truth?
All right, it's our Government at Work Day here at the Stash, and we like to turn to the activists that are working at the state level to help overturn adult marijuana prohibition. We turn to the state of California and the executive director of California Normal, Dale Gehringer, who joins us on the phone from San Francisco. Dale, welcome to the Stash.
Good to be here.
We've got a number of bills that are heading to the California legislature, and you'll be the expert on that. So I'll just let you go ahead and tell our listeners what the bills are and what they can do to help get these positive changes passed in the California legislature.
The bills that are out there mainly regard medical marijuana, which has been, of course, the hot issue out here for a while. In particular, as everybody is probably aware, we've had a whole slew of medical cannabis raids by the DEA, and there's a resolution called SJR 20 by Senator Carol Migden to denounce the federal raids on cannabis dispensaries out here. We're hopeful that, the legislature will pass something like that. Fortunately, because it's a joint resolution, it doesn't need the governor's signature, which gives it a better chance of actually getting through here. Our governor has not been terribly cooperative with legislation.
I seem to recall that governor once smoking a spliff on film at one point in his career.
That's true, but he does accept contributions from law enforcement, a very important constituency of his. And when law enforcement sneezes, the governor is quick to respond on all drug-related bills.
Gotcha.
So there's that. I think perhaps the most exciting and important bill out there is actually a bill that deals with the issue of drug testing medical marijuana users. There was an unfortunate state Supreme Court decision a month or so ago called Ross versus Raging Wire, where the state Supreme Court said that Prop 215 really didn't protect workers from being drug tested for marijuana use off the job, of course, which is what drug tests do, drug urine tests. Treating marijuana differently from other prescription drugs, which under the state's Health and Disabilities Act are not valid grounds for firing people if you have a prescription opiate, for example. But the Supreme Court said that 215 didn't extend that far, and therefore we have the Assemblyman Leno has introduced a bill, AB 2279, to fix this and to reestablish workers' rights to use medical marijuana and not be discriminated against on the basis of urine testing, on the bogus basis of urine tests. So that's an important issue. Going to take a lot of, I think, education of our legislators about, some of the evils and myths of drug testing in general. We want to work on that, and it's, I think, important that people contact their legislators about that bill. There's also a couple of other bills out there. There's a bill, another bill by Senator Migden, SB 1098, to dealing with sales taxes by medical cannabis dispensaries, basically clarifying state policy about sales. Dispensaries are liable for sales taxes, which has been the case really for some years here, but also specifying, since there has been some confusion in the past, a number of dispensaries ended up with massive tax liabilities from before the time that the policy was clear. So this bill basically forgives them for back taxes up to a certain date, assuming that they begin to pay immediately, and this will encourage a number of dispensaries to come online and pay sales taxes as increasing numbers are. This is actually an important factor, I think, in California, given we like a lot of states, we have a real budget crisis at the moment, and we've estimated the sales tax revenues from medical marijuana at California's rather high sales tax rate, which is around 8%. The sales taxes amount to about $100 million if they're all collected. And so we want to educate the legislature, encourage the legislature to encourage legitimate sales tax payments by cannabis dispensaries. And that's what this bill purports to do. There's also going to be some bill, I think, trying to establish it as state policy that law enforcement not cooperate with the DEA. I think that's Bill AB 2743, you know, whether that or any other medical marijuana bill that radical is about to pass is, I think, a good question. It's going to be hard to get, frankly, it's going to be hard to get any legislation at all passed this year. Legislature here and probably in lots of other parts of the country are sort of, I think, biding their time, waiting till next year when we're undoubtedly going to be seeing some new federal policies. And, you know, I think before jumping too fast, lawmakers are probably anxious to see what the federal government is going to do. And to a large extent, we're sort of biding time. But in our judgment, you know, the drug testing issue is the most important one facing the legislature, and the one where the most work needs to be done, because there is this widespread public assumption that, you know, anybody who tests dirty for on a drug test or a urine test has got to be dangerous somehow or a risk on the job. And there's absolutely no scientific evidence for that, but it's just a widespread social myth. And, you know, it's time we correct it. You know, we'd like to, of course, get rid of drug testing for all workers, but that's clearly off the table. But we do have an opportunity to address it in the case of medical marijuana patients. And there's a good deal of informed medical support for that kind of step as well. So I think that's probably going to be our major priority this year.
Well, I'm sure people could get more information on this at the California Normal website,
yeah,
correct?
We keep stuff posted at the California Normal website, www.canormal.org. And I believe that the national website also at normal.org.
And we'll provide links to this information as well on the Stash blog site at stash.normal.org. And I want to encourage all the Californians listening to the show to get involved. You can make a difference in changing these marijuana laws. When these assemblymen and these senators, when they get a phone call from a constituent, they take that to heart. All right, so we want to thank Dale Gehringer, the executive director of California Normal, for joining us today here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Thank you, Dale.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Good day. Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. All right, smokers, jokers, and midnight tokers, it's time for our musical break. And this Tuesday here on The Stash, we're going to get a great bass line going. We turn to Tomas, who's got a song called Let's Get High. Tomas was born in Greece and lived in Germany as a child. He now resides in New York, where he continues to develop his jazzy, funky, soulful style, working with some of the great musicians of that genre, such as Bruce Johnson and James Blood Ulmer. Although Tomas is proficient on the accordion, we only get to enjoy his mad guitar skills and deep, earthy vocals on today's music hit. Groove through your Tuesday with Let's Get High. And if you want to hear more, check out our blog at stash.normal.org. We'll have a link to Tomas's MySpace page. And as always, you can find more information about Tomas at music.podshow.com and download the MP3 of this tune at our blog, stash.normal.org. This is Tomas, and let's get high. Mm-hmm.
Terms in my hand can stay in one place, so I hold in front of me. A long distance, I've got to go, I've got to leave. And when I stop to sit beside the fence, I need time out before I drop. And there are you. You gotta give me your hand. Turn every old into new. Let's get high. Ride through the rainbow. Let the stars pass me by. Let's get high. We'll give it another try. Lord, give us another try. I'm sick of lies. Don't fool yourself. It's one condition for the prize. Cure my soul before I bleed. And then the sun will meet the moon. There is a chance to get it done. In 69, we will succeed. Chabada space.
This is Allison Holcomb, director of the Marijuana Education Project at the ACLU of Washington, and you're listening to Radical Russ on the Normal Daily Audio Stash.
All right, well, very happy to have a medical marijuana patient from the state of Illinois. Julie Falco joins us here on the Daily Audio Stash. She's also a board member for Illinois Normal, and Julie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Russ.
Well, we wanted to definitely get some attention paid to the state of Illinois. You guys are trying to get medical marijuana passed through your state legislature, and apparently this Wednesday there's a real important hearing that we need to get some people out to attend. So why don't you tell the audience about this hearing and what the state of medical marijuana is in the state of Illinois?
Yeah, this the hearing has opened up really at the last minute. I was going down. We were going to have a patient lobbying day this week, and it was just to go down there and talk about the bills that were introduced in the Illinois legislature. And there's both actually a House bill and a Senate bill this year, the companion this year. Last year it was just in the Senate. And so we're really excited about that. But there is a hearing scheduled for March 5th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the Capitol Building Room 400. And so we're going down there early. So I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon, actually, to go down there. There's going to be a press conference that MPP has set up, actually, and we're going to go down there for that. I don't think it's going to be a testimony where we'll be speaking for the hearing, but it's the first step, you know, to go through the process to push this bill through with the first committee and just keep moving along. Last year was very positive. That was the first time since 1978 that we had anything get as far as it did, so we're really excited about this year, and it's just so much closer. And I'm actually driving down with another patient, and there's a patient down in Carbondale that's going to meet us too, that are actually going to be doing the press conference and speaking out. And we're requesting all patients to come out if they can, or anybody that's in support of this to come out to support the bills. To also call their representatives and their senators to give their support that we need those votes.
Absolutely. And you can check out more information about these bills and who to contact by checking out the Illinois Normal website at illinoisnormal.org. That's spell out I-L-L-I-N-O-I-S, normal.org. And so Wednesday is the public hearing. You say it was at 1 o'clock, is that correct?
That's right.
All right. The public hearing at the state capitol. And, you, again, check out Illinois Normal. We'll have some links also at our stash blog at stash.normal.org. And so, Julie, do you think that, you think they got a good chance of passing this year?
I believe so. I mean, I've been saying that as long as I've been involved in this since 2004. I've seen a difference. I've seen a positive change. The players are different. The people that used to come out to oppose this, they don't come out anymore. Like the Andrea Barthwells and the Peter Bensingers and all the past drug czars, and they have stopped showing up. And last year especially, I think they just sent a mother that just had a concern about her son that was a drug addict, that he was going to get a hold of medical cannabis and become more addicted, and that's really, and it wasn't really credible, and even the senators knew it. They kind of called her on it, like, we don't know why you're here, you know. if this bill goes through, you have to go through a stringent process of getting an ID card, getting it checked out with your physician, getting the physician checked out, the whole process. So they didn't even understand why she was there. So every year I've seen it where they've just dropped away because they realize that this is getting to a point that it's going to happen, and they don't want to be the name, the opposition. They don't want to be that name in the history books to say we opposed this when the science shows that the new classifications of, you know, cannabinoids are, you know, there's three. There's the plant, there's, you know, endocannabinoids in the person's body, and then you have, you know, Marinol. So it's like, how can you deny this any longer? It's
yeah.
already there.
It's yeah, a lot of people are owning up to the hypocrisy of the idea that the synthetic THC in Marinol or Sativex is a Schedule 3 drug. Meanwhile, the raw plant is a Schedule 1 that's forbidden for anyone. I always like to joke that the reason that Sativex and Marinol are so less dangerous is because they have a barcode.
Yeah. Oh, I do like that. I may have to use that.
Yeah, barcode makes it safer somehow. Safer for pharmaceutical company profits, that is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It makes everybody comfortable. Well, and that's why I don't even use the word marijuana when I'm talking to legislators. I talk medical cannabis. I'm a stickler about this because that's what it is. That's the plant. And the science that's coming out, cannabinoids, endocannabinoids, you can't deny it anymore. And and all the studies that come out saying, yeah, this is beneficial for movement disorders, for MS patients, you know, cannabinoids, anandamide, all the medical terms. I try to stick with that because the marijuana word, I'm not saying get rid of it. It's in the culture. It's there to stay. But when you're talking to legislators, this is where they stop and they shut the door. They don't even want to listen and open up, you know, so that causes me a really difficulty when I go down there to talk because I'm like, yeah, I want to talk about medical marijuana. And they go, you can tell. They have, when you look at their face, they have all these preconceived notions, you know, all the stereotypes, all the negative influences that have been wrapped around that word for 70 years.
Yeah.
So why don't we start not using it when we're trying to get these bills passed?
I think you make a really good point there that the words we use matter. And, you know, through no fault of our own, the word marijuana has been co-opted to mean something other than medicine, as a recreational intoxicant. And you're right. It does sort of confuse the issue for these legislators that don't know a whole lot about the issue.
Right. And I've had them actually say that. They go, I can't get it. You know, I don't see it. Marijuana is not medicine. They've actually said that. And it's like, of course, that was kind of like a light bulb moment for me to go, of course they can't, because, yeah, they've got all this stereotype around the word marijuana, and you can't put it next to medical. They're not going to get past that unless, you know, they look at it differently. So I've been trying to communicate with them and changing the language to go, it's cannabis. That's the name of the plant. Here's the science saying, yeah, we got, you know, cannabinoid receptors in our bodies already. So let's look at that. How about that? And they might leave that door open just a little bit more for me to get in there and talk to them.
Absolutely. I think that's a very, very smart idea. Now, the Illinois legislature, you think that both the House and the Senate may move forward on this. How does your governor, what's his stance on the medical cannabis issue?
You know, we really don't know. It's one of those, we have to just keep moving it forward, and hopefully with all the positive attention that he will look at it differently and he will see that it is a benefit for this state, definitely.
Well, we hope so. I know in the state of Connecticut, they were able to get the medical marijuana bill through their House and Senate, only to have it vetoed by the governor there, just through, and apparently the governor was strong-armed by the ONDCP, and we hope nothing like that ends up happening in the state of Illinois.
No, we hope not either. We just keep plowing forward. And like I said, it's every year has been a better year. And I've really seen it where the opposition is just not there and there's not really much of an argument. And last year, the people on the Public Health Committee this year, at least in the Senate, most of them were on the committee last year. And so this year, there's six of them that voted yes last year. And there's five that voted no. And most of them are Republicans, and so I'm not sure how they'll vote this year, but, you know, already we're in good hands because we've got at least, hopefully if they stay with their yes votes, we've got six votes for that.
Well, that's excellent. We certainly hope that Illinois becomes the 13th medical cannabis state, the first in the Midwest. That would be great to see. And Julie, we want to thank you for coming on to the Daily Audio Stash today and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you. No problem. Glad to be here.
Everybody, check out IllinoisNormal.org for more information. And, of course, tomorrow is the big hearing Wednesday at the state capitol. Make sure to turn out for that. Your presence does make a difference. The numbers matter.
Okay, great. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from St. John Chrysostom from the Homilies, circa 388 AD. Quote, If you say, would there were no wine because of the drunkards, then you must say, going on by degrees, would there were no steel because of the murderers. Would there were no night because of the thieves. Would there were no light because of the informers. And would there were no women because of adultery. End quote. Even thousands of years ago, people realized that prohibition will not work. Thanks for joining us here at The Stash. I'm Radical Russ. Take care of each other, and we'll see you tomorrow.